good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Beth Hope City Council for Tuesday, November 19th, 2019, 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the invocation by Reverend Anthony Mangello, pastor of St. Anne Catholic Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence among us this evening. In a special way, we anticipate the celebration of Thanksgiving, we acknowledge the bountiful harvest of gifts that our city of Bethlehem enjoys. We ask that you help us to preserve those gifts of freedom, safety, camaraderie, and community support as the issues of government are considered throughout the evening's proceedings. Bless us with your wisdom, strength, and guidance, and help us always to see you in the face of each citizen so that we can treat one another with dignity and respect, sustaining a community that consistently shows care and concern for the needs of all. We make this prayer with confidence in your ever-abiding love. Amen. Yeah.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend. Please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan. Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walden.
Present. Mr. Callahan will be joining us shortly this evening. Prior to public comment, I'd like to announce that a communication will be added to the agenda as item 6F. It concerns a police department grant application approval request. When we reach that portion of the agenda, the clerk will read the communication again, and I will take a motion to schedule a public hearing. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening, we have a sign-up sheet here we have a few names on. After we work through that list, we'll open it up to anyone else on the floor who'd like to speak on any subject that we will not be voting on this evening. First on our list,
Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the reminder. I understand you wanted to make some remarks before we move into public comment.
Thank you very much. The City of Bethlehem has been a partner with the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter for years. In the past, the location rotated nightly amongst a group of churches. Members of my administration provided support for the program and even volunteered to their respective churches from December 1st to March 31st each winter season. The transition a few years ago to a single location created logistical efficiencies, but has not been met without its own challenges. Through the hard work of many people, last season was an improvement over the first. We will continue to work with BES to fulfill this important humanitarian mission. Recently, BES indicated they would be interested in amending the opening date that was originally requested by and granted to the BES. Members of my staff, we met this morning to review the request and identify important logistical modifications and safety inspections that would need to be made in order to ensure the shelter would be open under safe conditions to both the homeless population as well as the residents in the surrounding neighborhoods. Those steps have taken place, and we have been in direct communication with Mr. Rapp, and I think he's here this evening, with the leadership of the BES to expedite the process so a shelter can open before December 1st. I would like to thank those who have shown great care for those that are less fortunate, the members and volunteers of the BES for their mission. They looked at the hill, and the staff of the multiple organizations that partner with BES to support the mission. That's my statement, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And as we move into public comment here, I know some folks did want to speak on that subject. And as I call your name, if you'd come up to the microphone and give your name and address for the record, and if you would be addressing your comments to council, we would most appreciate that. So first on our list is Joseph Golden, it looks like.
Good evening. What I wanted to talk about or bring up is the quality of life in the city. I feel has been going down a little bit each year, specifically around the colleges in the city. With the advent of increased tuition, parents are now buying houses, specifically in Moravian or around Moravian College. I live in neglected to say, 1124 Main Street, directly across from Meridian College. This past summer, the house three doors down from me was bought by an absentee landlord. There was a sign right out front, student housing. Got no permission, or there was no inspections from the city. He didn't know he needed one after I talked to him, or he just was trying to avoid the whole thing. In any case, there's at least five people living in the house now. My wife and I would like the city to do something about, or at least limit the amount of people that live in these houses. Because right now, we don't know how many people. Right now, the city allows up to five people. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Could a action be taken to limit that to three people?
An action could be taken. It would have to go through an ordinance process.
Okay, and how is that started? Is that members of the city council proposing an ordinance, or?
Yes. Okay. Or the administration can bring an ordinance forward. It's often the case as well.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm here for is to express my displeasure of the what's seemingly a more common occurrence, where students are taking over houses that were primarily single-family residents at one point, but the residents are aging out, and opportunities for this type of activity is just becoming more and more prevalent. And I would like to see the city impose some sort of limits on the amount of students being allowed in one house. Okay?
Thank you. The administration has brought forward some changes in the rental inspection process that are going to be coming forward. As well as
I read that in the paper today. However, that's kind of going after the cow after it's been let out of the house, let out of the barn.
I think the mayor would like to make a comment.
We are working on an ordinance that we are. First of all, we really are looking at the number five, possibly lowering it.
Okay.
We met with people around Moravia. We're meeting with stakeholders around Lehigh University. We hope to bring something to city council possibly at the beginning of the year. I don't know what the final form will be, but we are looking at the issue of dealing with student housing around campuses, specifically Moravia, more so about Lehigh. We are looking at the number.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your time and consideration, and I'll let the next person speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gold. Next on our list is Katie. Can't quite make up the last name. Our pen's not in the best condition.
My handwriting's not the best.
I didn't want to blame that.
Thank you. It's writing. And I'm at 925 Main Street, and I'm here. Just the housing situation, drugs, home invasion right down the street from us. We do have a block watch intact now, and we do call the cops all the time. We have so many issues on our block, up and down. And with that being said, there's two houses down. There has yet to be an inspection on the house since 2009, and there was a meth lab in 2015 that was busted. So why wasn't that house inspected? Ever? Wouldn't that be on red alert, like a high alert to the city? You know it's a rental. Let's inspect it. We had a drug bust making meth, and nothing was done. Until actually recently, because I keep complaining to the health department, and finally they were inspected. So we keep complaining to the police, to the city, and nothing's being done. We're taking that courage to go forward. We're just asking for you to have the courage, too, to do something on your part. So I'm curious what you're planning on doing to rectify this, to make it a safer environment for us. We have a daycare, a grade school, down across from Union Boulevard, the high rises, the old elderly live there. It's not safe to walk up and down the street. Can't hang out in the yard. So, back to you guys. What can you do to make it safer?
We have heard some complaints recently about that stretch of Main Street. And obviously there was that high-profile home invasion recently that got a lot of news attention.
Or the house next door to me that was raided, that they had all the drugs and guns. You know, we share a yard, and what?
You could understand that not being a comfortable situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to punt too much here, but our police chief, DeLuzio, is here this evening. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he might be able to speak with you and potentially Mr. Golden as well, as he's nearby, about some of those issues that are happening in your neighborhood. Privately as well, maybe out in the hallway, and talk about some of the problems that you're seeing and maybe what some of the things the police are doing to help that process.
But what about the inspections? So, I mean, what I understood, you have a rental. Do you not have to get inspected every time a new tenant moves in?
That is correct.
So from 2015, when it was busted, when he had the meth lab, I know it was never inspected. I knew the people who moved in there. Nothing. So from 2009, I mean, I have a report from the city, never inspected. How can that be?
I don't have an answer for you.
But I would just think there would be more due diligence. You see something in the paper, and wouldn't it be the city, like, there's some extra money, you can collect the rental fee, the inspection fee, and nothing was done.
A lot of the inspection process is based on a complaint-driven process.
So I have to complain, me being a neighbor, for that house to be inspected.
You should not have to, but that...
But that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that would help the city understand that there is an issue there. Also, it has to do with manpower and having enough inspectors to do that kind of work, which is why there is a proposal in the 2020 budget from the administration to add two new inspectors in order to combat some of the blight issues, as well as the absentee landlords that are not having their properties inspected and not taking care of them.
Okay, because, I mean, you just had to transfer the property, Mr. Golden was saying. I mean, you see the transfers in the court records, and there's no inspection. I mean, there's so many things that that you don't connect. So, to me, you need to have more due diligence with that. Not hiring more inspectors.
I would think the administration's hearing your comments,
okay.
And I don't know if they can address them specifically, but I know there is a larger plan in place in order to help alleviate some of those problems that are happening in the inspection process.
Okay. That's it. All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
Next on our list is Tina Marzigliano.
Good evening, council people. Thank you for giving me this time. I live at 210 West Gap Street. There was a shooting at our house on our block. I live on the corner of West Gap in Geisinger a few months ago over drugs. There are homes on our block that are known to be selling drugs. We see cars pull up all the time. We see people run out of the corner house doing transactions. I have called the police time and time again. Nothing is being done. There's a meth lab on the corner of Geisinger and Fairview. You guys know it. I went as far as calling Children and Youth Services in there because there are children living in that house. Children and Youth did come in, but of course, all the drug paraphernalia was put away, so on and so forth. They know they're coming. I think a lot of these homes have police scanners, knowing that they're going to be coming, and they clean everything out, or they leave so the homes are empty, you know, when the police do drive by. Oh, we need to do something. I love this city. I was born and raised in this city. I've lived in my house for almost 20 years. I'm not selling my house. I'm not moving because of drug dealers being on my street. But we need to do something as a community, as a whole, in order to take control back of our homes and our neighborhoods. It's not safe for our children to go out and walk. It's not. And this is terrible. Because when we first moved in, it was safe. Our kids could play in the yard. My kids are grown now. But they were able to play in the yard, and I didn't have to worry about someone driving by and shooting a gun. This is crazy, and no one's doing anything about it. And I worry for our next generation. Where are they going to go? You want everyone to move out of Bethlehem because it's not safe anymore? Nothing was ever in the newspaper about the shooting. I had police officers in my yard looking for bullets because they thought they may have hit our house. I have two children. They're older, but I still have two children that live at home with me. What if a shot would have went through the window and hit one of my kids? Who do I go after? The city for not doing their job? I understand that our police force needs more officers. We need more funding for officers. We need to do something as a whole. We have to work together, and no one's doing that. Everyone's pushing everything under the carpet, and it's not fair for us taxpayers. We pay our due diligence. We need the protection, and it's not there anymore. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid for what our future is going to hold. We're letting all these drug dealers move in these rental homes. No one's doing anything about it. No one's checking in. There are no police officers driving down my street. We were promised that there would be more checks down our street. And again, I get they're understaffed. I totally get that. And I know our street's not the only street in trouble. But we have to do something. I don't really have any questions except for what are we going to do? And I know we can't figure that out this evening. We have to work together and collaborate in order to find out some solutions to these problems. But I'm just voicing my opinion as a very concerned citizen, you know, and I pay my taxes, and my taxes should be going to safety or, you know, something so we can go out and walk at night and not have to worry about, you know, being shot at or, you know, seeing a drug deal at the corner of our street. So that's all I really have to say. But thank you for listening.
Thank you. And again, our police chief, Deluzio, is in the hallway. The good-looking guy who's coming in the blue shirt there. You want to step into his office there, give him a little more information.
Thank you.
Next, we have our Bethlehem moment.
Good evening. My name is Rhea Levy. I am the head of the Adult Services Department at the Bethlehem Area Public Library, and I live at 1609 Stanford Road. Bethlehem Moment, 1860. While working on an oral history project titled Voices from the African Diaspora, the Black Experience of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, it was essential that I embedded myself into the community. Though a newcomer, I became part of the local African-American community and gained two aunts. They shared many stories and their voices. This essay is a taste of some of the takeaways that have enriched the village of Bethlehem 159 years since the arrival in 1860 of Hiram Bradley, who is said to be the first known Black/Negro man from Virginia. The families that came during and after the Civil War built churches and organizations to keep themselves grounded. Those that left their footprints in the sand of time in Bethlehem are the Bradleys, Smiths, Grimes, Lees, Enoxes, Tarboroughs, Butts, and the list goes on. They came from such places as Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Washington, D.C., New Jersey. And even though I discovered countless stories, I will highlight just three. Jeff Goodwin, who started the well-known Goodwin Scholarship Fund. Bert Tarboro, who started the first Black baseball team. And Vivian Butts, the first Black female police officer. Black/African-American communities coming out of slavery to freedom instilled in their members the importance of an education. Bethlehem's black population was no exception. Those who paved the way worked as domestic help, chauffeurs, and as laborers in the blast furnace at Bethlehem Steel. Therefore, instilling the importance of an excellent education was constant in their homes. The J.F. Goodwin Scholarship Fund is remembrance of this ideology and continues into the present day. The J.F. Goodwin Scholarship Fund is a remembrance, Dr. Goodwin founded the scholarship organization in 1936. Even though he resided in Reading, Pennsylvania most of his life, Bethlehem was once his home. However, though he made numerous attempts, he was denied work as a doctor while living here, and he had to move to Reading to work in his profession. But these obstacles did not dampen Goodwin's spirit. His experience of hardship trying to put himself through medical school and establish a practice instilled in him the need to start a scholarship fund for high school students heading off to colleges. Another pillar in the African-American community was Bert Tarborough. According to his daughter Vivian Butts, Vivian Hungerford, everyone in the neighborhood knew and respected her father. Their family home was always open to any and everyone, came and dined at their table. Tarborough began working for the Bethlehem Steel in 1926 as a laborer and retired 46 years later. He was a deacon and trustee at St. Paul's Baptist Church and master of the Wyoming Lodge No. 135, which was chartered in 1927. Tarborough and his family were heavily involved in teaching the youth how to play baseball. In 1961, he formed the Bethlehem Giants of the Blue Mountain Baseball League. The team and their families had picnics and took trips together, and everyone was welcome, whether they could afford to attend or not. During one of the Bethlehem Giants banquets, baseball star Jackie Robinson and Don Newcomb were guests of honor. Mrs. Hungerford notes that when the neighborhood blacks and whites alike found out that these African Americans, hero, were both at Tarborough's home, many came knocking at their door. In 1964, Vivian Butts became the first black female police officer, working in the Juvenile Aid Division and retiring 25 years later as Sergeant Butts. She was the wife of Raymond E. Butts and mother of two, Raymond Jr. and Sharon King. Mrs. Butts was very active in the community. She was involved in the NAACP, the J.F. Goodwin Scholarship Fund, St. Paul's Baptist Church, and other organizations. Her steadfast involvement in the city was widely recognized, and she was honored in 1987 for community service at the NAACP banquet at the Bethlehem Hotel. The Bethlehem NAACP had formed under Theodore Dennis in 1946, 1 year after the civil rights activist Roy Wilkins visited Lehigh Valley. The Bethlehem NAACP invited another prominent activist, Ralph Abernathy, to their freedom banquet in 1975. In his speech to about 350 attendees, Abernathy stated that God is colorless. 74 years later, the organization is still active under the direction of Mrs. Esterly. The discoveries I made about this small and vibrant African-American community of 3.6% of the Bethlehem population at the time of the 200 U.S. Census are gems that must be known to all. What I have shared about this small community is only a ripple. However, if you continue to look, the ripples will go on and on. The families that came during the 1800s came willingly, unlike their mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters who arrived on the shores of Virginia in 1960. Even though there were few in numbers, their sense of family and community are rooted in the earth of Bethlehem like an old oak tree. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Levy. Next is Lewis James.
I'm taking this letter as probably a moot point, but my purpose of coming here this evening was not to speak for the Concerned Neighbors Group of Bethlehem, but for myself. My name is Lewis James, and I own the James Funeral Home at 527 Center Street in Bethlehem. And I'm still going to read the letter just so that it goes into the record here. Your Honor, Mayor Donches, and City Council members, I come before you this evening to request that the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter be able to open as early as requested and also be kept open later. They mentioned to us April 15th. As you are aware, the Concerned Neighbors Group came before you out of concern about issues that took place in the shelter during its first year when it was at Christ Church. Since that time, Bethlehem Emergency Shelter has met with several representatives of the Concerned Neighbors Group on a regular basis to work on issues and have also looked for ways, and we have also looked for ways to help them. Bethlehem Emergency Shelter should be commended for the work they did last year in making the shelter and our neighborhood a safer place. And after meeting with them earlier this month, we expected them to continue the good work instituted with the changes that they had instituted last year. At a meeting that we held on October the 23rd, we were informed of the possible early opening of the shelter, and at that time we were not aware of any concerns as long as the shelter was run in the same manner as it was last year. We did request that Bethlehem Emergency Shelter send a letter of their intentions to open early to the Zoning Board for their protection, as well as to ensure all legal means were settled. At a neighbor's meeting, we were informed of a late closing for the shelter, which we had not discussed. When I say late closing, I mean they were going to close later, that being April 15th. We were concerned. Our group really wasn't that concerned so long as the shelter was being run in the same manner as it had been in the past year. I can't speak for all the neighbors. I can only speak for myself. And I want to accentuate that because I was emailed earlier and I was told I could only speak for myself. As my business is directly next door to the shelter and the church, I can just speak that things were very well run last year, and that the shelter people were willing to meet with us and to listen to our concerns, and they actually acted on them, which was something new last year. The first year they did not do that, and so that made the shelter actually a good neighbor for me and for my business. With the early cold snap this year, there is a need to shelter the homeless in this area. Therefore, again, I speak only for myself. I am requesting that Bethlehem Emergency Shelter be able to open immediately if possible. I can't speak for all the neighbors, but as one in close proximity, as long as BES continues to work with the neighbors group and maintains the protocols that it had in place this past year, they have my support. I personally look forward to continuing our meetings with Bethlehem Emergency Shelter to discuss neighborhood concerns and to work toward positive resolutions. And I also hope that the City of Bethlehem will make more of an effort in helping BES to find a permanent location that will satisfy all parties, because I think this will solve all the issues. Once they have a permanent physical building, I think things along with the neighbors and everything will calm down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. James.
It's the last name we have previously signed up on the list for anyone who'd like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening. I'll open it up to anyone else in the room. Mr. Rodriguez?
Eddie Rodriguez, 701 Main Street, Bethlehem. I came here tonight for a couple of reasons. One, that I would like and appreciate that when these subjects of drugs pertaining to the community, that the police chief and the mayor be present until we all finish commenting on what is most important for us in the community, and not to exit, with all due respect to both of you, one after the other, as I took notice of that. Wait until everybody's finished, and then if you want to ask questions of us or the news reporters, wait until we all finish. That way, they have a chance to see what the others are saying, and not miss out on any key points. And that's with respect to both of you. It's my request. I would like to ask that the board members here not debate amongst each other, not to be critical. I'm talking about council members. I haven't come in here a long time. When I came back, I found out that, you know, upon seeing what yous were doing here, some were critical of others, and yous are supposed to be the prime example of all of us. So I would like the chairman to make sure that these things, and once you say you are the sergeant of arms to me, when you say that's it, that's what I wish. I thought the mayor was going to speak about this. I called your office, by the way. We got a homelessness problem here. Again, it's been here for quite some time. People that are homeless are sleeping on the bridges, the 378 ramp, on the highway. I took notice of that. There's fires being started, which I reported myself to the dispatcher a couple weeks back. I think that was a part, in my opinion, because of the homeless problem that we have. Then, the association with graffiti, that has to do with drugs, homelessness, and I would like something to be done with reference to that. We do have a drug problem here in Bethlehem. It's been here. If you note that what I've been saying all these years, I gave you leads into how to do it. It wasn't taken. Police, they can only do so much. What is important is to take the input from these community members. Even if the block watches are now increasing, that's fine and all. But they're not out there. Right now, these community members are scared. They're scared for their children. They're scared for their families. They're scared of the police walking in on their areas of their houses and the backyards and so on and so on and so on. I took notice of what was going on at that Main Street where it just recently got busted. I spoke to Mr. DeLucio privately, and I wanted to speak to the mayor with regards to that. And I'm not going to speak to what he said versus what I said, but I know for a fact that what these folks are commenting on, that is happening. And to this very day, it's still happening. So take note of that, Mr. Police Chief Montelugio, because these people are not going to give up just because, you know, you had a drug raid and you raided their home and somebody yanked their body out of it and broke two legs, you know, out of the second floor. They're going to keep on. And you have more drugs on Garrison Street than what anybody suspects here. Yous are not aware of that. Yous are not into that. I came from that world. And I keep on saying that. So I know personally myself as to what's happening in these communities. But me mentioning it, if you're not doing anything about it, it's not going to happen. You've got to get involved, really involved, and bust these people. Whatever it takes, your stop signs, your electrical boxes, all that, your houses, they took notice of it, the police. But doing something about it. Why did it happen? It's simply, give me a little more extra, 10 seconds more. It's because the drugs that were coming into this area. That's why it was happening. Because you have more people that are extending the amount of people that are allowed. 5 people, you're talking about 3 people. It's not about that. It's the drugs. Because they don't give a darn about what they do and how they do it, and they don't care about your churches, and they don't care about your community. They are out to destroy, and they're going to rob and steal and all that just to get their drugs. So if you hear me tonight, do something about it before this situation gets out of hand, and it will. I'm pleading with you for the sake of these community members that came out here, but the next generation, what are you going to do about them? Are you going to allow them to teach or to learn, for instance, about drugs? That's an important factor you have to raise in your hearts. Do something now before it's too late. You got to get the police more involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Anyone else on this side of the room would like to make a comment? Yes.
My name is Lisa Rosa, and I used to live on Mechanic Street for many years. I know the mayor very well, I know the chief very well, and I know very many of the older community police. I was very involved with them, and we managed to clean up a few blocks. We also renamed McNamara Park and had that fixed for the children. After a while, our neighbors were not afraid to call the police for themselves. In the beginning, they would call me and I would call the police. And after a while, my phone got quiet. I feel community policing is very important, because that is the only way the citizens get to see that police are human too. When they don't get out of their cars, or they don't want to talk to anybody, or sometimes they stand there talking about an incident that's happening and they say remarks that they really shouldn't say in front of people, what are people going to think about the officers? And I know, because it happened in front of me. And in fact, me and that officer became very good friends when I went to the Citizens Police Academy and we talked about the incident. His first words to me were, "You really hate me, don't you?" And when I explained the situation, because there were people watching them, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I only did that because the situation makes everybody nervous, especially us, because we deal with this every day, and after a while it gets depressing." And I said, "Yeah, I can understand that. But you have to realize, do it when you get in your car. Do it away from people. Because while you're doing that, people are thinking, look at that asshole." Pardon my profanity. And we became very good friends. Dave Strong. Wonderful officer. Still friends. Kevin Spano. Scott Weber. Scott Perry. Henry Johnson. All community police. And we managed to get good block watches going. I hear now that nobody wants to get involved anymore in community policing. Why? Why are these officers reluctant to speak to people? I understand what's going on with society today. And some may not admit it, but they're afraid. And I understand that totally. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid to be in crowds. I won't go to Music Fest. I won't go to Kriskin the Mart. I won't go to concerts or anything. Because some guy pulled a gun in front of my house at me. I got so physically sick, I had to leave Bethlehem. The justice system failed me. And it wasn't the police in Bethlehem. It was the justice system. He had priors. He had stolen guns. And he was on drugs. They put him in a drug rehab and gave him 2 years probation. I lost my job. I got extremely sick. And I had to leave because I was paranoid. I couldn't go out of my house. When I went to work, within 20 minutes, I was sick as a dog and I had to leave. I wouldn't go out at night. Nothing. I was pretty much a prisoner of my own home. And he had family that lived right around the corner. And I was worried they'd come after me. Community policing has done a lot for me and other people. Can I have 10 more seconds, please? So I would really like to see something done with this. Get officers into it. I mean, I'll even volunteer to work with them. I don't care. I just want them to understand that this is a very important part of the police department. And I'm willing to do anything for them to get out there. Recently, my niece, she's in a dangerous position. And nothing is being done. I tried. And I don't know what to do. I don't know if this specific person is afraid. I don't know if it's just that he just doesn't want to deal. I don't know. But if they're afraid to go out there and talk to people, that's not good. And what I said years ago about the casino coming in, they can look back. My name back then was Lisa Vasquez. I was married. I'm now divorced. Because when I got sick, he couldn't handle it. So I've been single since 2007. Because he couldn't handle it. So I've been through a lot of hell. But now I'm back. I'm healthy. You are going to be seeing a lot of me. I am going to be a thorn in everybody's side. But I'm doing it for the good of my home, which is Bethlehem. And it's always been. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rosa. Sir Navasa, in the center of the room, would like to make a comment. Moving into the center, we would like to speak on any subject not being voted on this evening, Mr. Shire.
Mr. Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue. A few updates on planning and zoning. One other apartment project to be added to the list. Chelsea Avenue, 30 units. This now has 13 projects. I won't recap them once again, but 5 on the south side, 4 on the west side, and 4 on the north side. You may also be aware that an investor in Southside Housing has sold approximately 100 plus properties to a firm, I think located in Wall Street, but I'm not sure about that. I'm going to try to find out more, for $21 million. He told someone who told me that it was so much money he couldn't refuse it. So if it's 100 properties, that would be $210,000 per property. So maybe it's more than 100 properties, because, well, it just seems 210 seems a little high. The Planning Commission met last Thursday on the plan for the Armory project, and various details were discussed by nearby residents. And the chairman of the Planning Commission went out of his way to almost effusively thank the neighbors for their comments and how wonderful it was when the commission members and the developer and the residents work together in a dialogue, and maybe that would be a trialogue. The Planning Commission then proceeded to adopt the plan with no conditions. And as you may be aware, the Zoning Hearing Board is in the process of hearing of a challenge to the validity of the ordinance that you passed with respect to 2 West Market Street. There's been 2 sessions so far of 4 hours apiece. The neighbors who are appealing your vote have called so far, I believe, 5 witnesses, and they have approximately 15 to go. It's going to be a long process, but I understand this is necessary to file a court challenge. Incidentally, on the Planning Commission discussion, the argument was made by one Planning Commission member and by the developer, John Callahan, that the additional residents in this project will provide customers for the Main Street merchants. And this would be true to some extent. And one wonders why the Main Street merchants need help. Well, I guess it's because they're not making as much money as they would like, and a big part of that would be the rents they have to pay. So, to some extent, greater density is being argued in order to help the landlords of Main Street. But there is another argument for greater density, and which I'll get into in more detail at another time. But basically, it's an environmental argument that more people you have living downtown, they don't have to drive their cars as much. And with that, I'll stop for tonight. There'll be more later. Thank you.
Mr. Shire, anyone else in the center would like to speak? Mr. Intox?
Stephen Intox, 77 Ridge. Bethlehem City Council approved a $40,000 grant to study South Bethlehem in terms of zoning, growth, and housing, stating it was sorely needed. This fell on ears of many people who reacted with great optimism, because, as I said, it is sorely needed. But there's another group of people who heard the same thing, and they might be called skeptics. So, why would a person be skeptical of such a great announcement? Strange. But There's a logic to their attitude. If you happen to be an adult living in Bethlehem in the mid-50s, you heard of a great plan. Full page ad in the paper. If you are interested in Bethlehem redevelopment, come to the big public meeting at Moravian College. Refreshments, gifts, and plenty of music. And that plan called for a city hall and also for the Five Points bypass. We have city hall, but no bypass. Then, in 1976, that plan, by the way, at great expense, was the Clark Capuano plan. Very expensive. Then, in 1976, the Gruens were paid a handsome sum to formation of the Southside 76. Great idea, redevelop that area. It didn't happen. Then, I think in 2004 or 2005, the Sasaki plan. Great plans to improve the South Side. It didn't happen. Then, there are a number of plans to look into the Five Points. These all cost a lot of money. The Five Points is still the way it was with the first day of the first plan. So, can you understand why this person living in the 50s is a skeptic today? Might this $40,000 grant end up the same way these other expensive plans ended? So, you can give these skeptics the right to cynicism, because how can a person realizing all this become optimistic? So, I guess the best way to find out is sit back and wait and see what happens. So, if these plans costing $40,000 end up the same as all these other expensive plans, we just might see conversions. People who were optimistic joining the skeptics.
Thank you. Anyone else in the center would like to speak? Anyone on this side of the room like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Moving to second public comment on the ordinances and resolutions to be voted on. We don't have any names previously signed up, but I'll start on this side of the room and rotate around. If anyone would like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance on the agenda this evening. Seeing none, we'll move along with our agenda. Communications, communication 6A.
Memorandum from Edward Foscoli, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, requesting adoption of a resolution in support of an application to the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development for an H2OPA grant. The grant will be used to help fund a project to replace approximately 4,300 square feet of sanitary sewer along Broadway, Broadhead Avenue, and West 3rd Street.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda, communication 6B.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Spots, Stevens, and McCoy for engineering services related to completion of a risk and resilience assessment and development of an emergency response plan for the Bethlehem Water System. The contract runs to March 31st, 2020 for Phase 1 and to September 30th, 2020 for Phase 2. The price is $65,900 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, communication 6C.
a memorandum from Alicia Carner, Miller Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, with a proposed ordinance establishing Article 1738 titled Residential Rental Units. This proposed article outlines the process by which the Bureau of Housing Inspections will license all residential rentals annually and inspect licensed properties on a three-year rotation. The principal function is to protect the health, safety, and welfare of tenants and to prevent deterioration of housing stock by enforcing property maintenance codes.
I will refer this to the Community Development Committee, Communication 6D.
A memorandum from William P. Leeson, City Solicitor, with an attached proposed amendment to an intermunicipal water service agreement between Northampton Borough Municipal Authority, Bethlehem Authority, and the City of Bethlehem.
The ordinance can be placed on the December 3rd agenda for first reading. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Police Captain Michelle Cott requesting authorization to execute grant award documents for funds to be received under the 2019 local share account Northampton and Lehigh Counties grant in the amount of up to $65,295.67. The grant will be used by the Bethlehem Police Department to purchase a 3D laser scanner that will enhance their ability to document major accident, crime, and fire scenes.
I'll accept the motion as second to schedule a public hearing for Tuesday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. at Town Hall.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Reynolds, second by Dr. Van Wert. The resolution, do I need to have a vote on it? Clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Grohn?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The resolution will be placed on the December 3rd agenda. Communication 6F.
Memorandum from Police Captain Michelle Cott requesting authorization to execute grant award documents for funds to be received under the 2019 local share account Northampton and Lehigh Counties grant in the amount of up to $108,737.64. The grant will be used by the department to improve enforcement of traffic violations related to the maximum gross weight of commercial vehicles.
Again, I will accept the motion second to schedule a public hearing for Tuesday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. in Town Hall.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Ms. Negron, second by Dr. Van Wert. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The resolution will be placed on the December 3rd agenda. Moving on to reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. 2 points. I did receive this afternoon, and I'll forward a copy to Council, a memorandum from Executive McClure. Northampton County has approved the city's request for a $60,000 SIP application grant for the study of the pedestrian bridge. So that's good news. Second point. I've been attending City Council meetings since I was in high school. I've witnessed and participated in debates over many controversial issues, selling a landfill, a casino, rezoning Lowe's, and single hauler, just to name a few. Debate was intense with strong opinions, but personal attacks were not part of the process. Having spent 18 years as a member of City Council, 8 of them as president, and now nearly 6 years as mayor, I am more aware than anyone the importance of the relationship between the administration and City Council. Bethlehem City Council has always been known for its decorum, professionalism, and respect for different points of view. We have been the model for many communities on how to conduct government business. Over the past several months, there has been a major regression from that standard. I am not talking about votes. I am talking about provocative comments and personal attacks which seemed to originate from a member of City Council. While for the most part, meetings proceed normally, the departures are having a disproportionate negative impact on working relationships and Council's reputation. Council members have been unfairly challenged to choose between engaging at the risk of escalation and answer with silence. The Council meeting on November 6th, this behavior appeared again. This time it was directed across the dais at a member of my administration. The personal attack was unprovoked, out of order, without cause, and completely out of line. The members of my administration are professionals. They work hard for the city and value the working relationships they have with City Council. I will not subject members of my administration to any more personal attacks in the future. The budget meeting on November 13th again illustrated the basis for my concerns. A protracted challenge about offering discounted golf balls to students at the driving range devolved into another unseemly interlude. The quorum suffered again when a council member did not get the answers he wanted. Since Bethlehem became a mayor council form of government in 1961, it has been a tradition that the mayor and his cabinet attend city council meetings. There are important benefits to having them here. One, to continue the partnership with council. Two, to explain items on the agenda. Three, to offer feedback to questions. And four, to resolve problems for citizens. In the future, if there is another unwarranted personal attack on a member of my administration of the type we saw on November 6th, I will consider changing that tradition. To conclude, I want to emphasize that I regard all of you as good friends and colleagues. I highly value the good working relationship we have with each of you. I fully expect that to continue. However, there have been some recent departures from decorum and professionalism that I feel obligated, as someone has been in this chamber for a long time, to address. I do this not only for council and the members of my administration, but also to meet the expectations of the 76,000 residents that we were elected to serve. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Mayor. At this point, we're not going to have any further comment from council. And if anybody wants to make any remarks, we can always do that under new business. But I thank you for your comments. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, Ordinance 8A.
The ordinance amending Article 531 to increase the amount of fines for parking violations, Bill 40-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
No.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 156 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled City of Bethlehem Pension Fund. Bill 41-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 927, titled Sewer Rental, Bill 42-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, authorizing an intermunicipal agreement between the City of Bethlehem and the Lehigh Township Municipal Authority related to water services to be provided at a resale master water meter pit within the city's franchise service territory. Bill 43-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Grohn?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New ordinances for consideration this evening. 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 107, entitled Departments, Bill 44-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the general fund budget for 2020. Bill 45-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Grohn?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the water fund budget for 2020. Bill 46-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Kramsky Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Grom?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the sewer fund budget for 2020, Bill 47, 2019, sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Grom?
Aye.
Mr. Walder?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9E.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Enterprise Fund budget for 2020. Bill 48, 2019 is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Mr. Reynolds?
I wanted to just state I missed the budget hearing last week. I had a chance to catch up on the eventful meeting that occurred, and I just wanted to echo the words of some of my colleagues to the administration that I think that there's been a lot of hard work over there at the golf course that the administration deserves credit for, that Mr. Kelchner deserves credit for. I think, as do all of our employees over there, I think things over there are looking a lot better financially and aesthetically than they did. And I can't think of any complaints about the golf course that are warranted. And I just want to say it's looking good. Thank you, Mr. Holdren.
Mr. Conant?
Thank you, Mr. President. I echo Mr. Reynolds' comments. I think if we look back on where it started, I think it started with a phone call with myself and Mr. Evans to make some changes over there. And I congratulate Mr. Evans for doing a lot of hard work on it. There is one thing that I do want to bring up tonight, and I did some homework over the last week. Every single recreational fee that we have, be it golf, 18-hole, golf, season passes, the pool rates, pools passes season rates, the ice rink rates, and the tennis hourly rate, and the tennis seasonal rates, there are two different fees, adults and children. The only thing that we charge a fee for in the City of Bethlehem and the whole City of Bethlehem recreation, the only thing that there's not a children's rate is on the driving range. And I apologize if I'm incorrect here, but I think the only other person I know on council that was an athlete was Mr. Reynolds, other than myself. If someone else was, I apologize. I can imagine Mr. Reynolds taking, and he was a hell of a basketball player, and I can guarantee he probably took hundreds of thousands of shots in the times that he was growing up on basketball courts. And had he been charged $10 to take 60 shots, because that's basically what we're charging the kids for, I don't know if he could have afforded it. Maybe he could have. I know my family couldn't afford it. Mr. Evans, I don't know if your family could afford it every time he went in and drilled wrestling. All I'm asking for is a children's rate, a youth rate, like we do on every other fee, a recreational fee, we have in the City of Bethlehem. We move it from $10 to $5. Yes, it's an enterprise fund, and yes, I want it to be profitable and successful, but it's also part of the recreation department, and it's for kids and children of the City of Bethlehem. I just think in this day of age of video games and lack of activity by children, the City of Bethlehem should be encouraging kids to stay outside and be active and stay off the streets. Mr. Evans and Mr. Kelcher both acknowledged at the last meeting that many city children are over there using the golf course. If they want to amend it, they may. But since so many are using it on a daily basis, I would like to ask council to have a vote to change the fee for children for a large bucket of balls from the adult rate at $10 to a $5 rate for children, so they can be active and outside. I don't know if anyone else on this council thinks that way, but I think it's fair to charge children. I don't think it's fair to charge children an adult rate to golf to hit golf balls. And I would recommend this vote for the kids. This is a vote for kids. This is a vote for children to be active. And this is a vote for children being outside and off the streets and off of video games. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Evans, did you want to weigh in on that?
I would just, you know, in response to Mr. Callahan, of course, we're always willing to listen to all of council's suggestions in a number of matters. Just in response, I would offer the course has had the same policy since 1956. The course has been open for very long. Since 1956, that has been the status. There have never, to this date until last week, has that ever become a concern or complaint or a phone call. And again, a small group brought that up this summer with the idea and suggestion, which we're always welcome to, but the fact that when you look around, any other course operates it the same way that we do, I'll point to the words, industry standard, when you look around, and this is an enterprise fund, which we do offer a lot of recreational opportunities, a whole lot of recreational opportunities across this city, that this isn't the only one. Even on the golf course, there are different ways to play on the golf course at the discounted range if they apply to do that. But we do want to remain consistent. We do want to mirror and emulate what other successful golf courses do, and this is the way they do it. This is the way this course has done it since 1956. So it's not a change. I would offer Mr. Callahan, if he is interested, because to that proposal is not going to come from the administration, but the opportunity to do that would be at the final budget hearing to propose a budget and check the will of council, you know, through discussions from them. But we do stand, and we did hire someone, I think we all agree, who was in this room at the last budget hearing. Mr. Kelson has been very successful with the course. We, I think, all stand in line when we say he's been done a great job operationally. He's done a great job with the people. He's a face of the organization out there. He's a great diplomat for the course. So operationally and financially, it's really moving in the right direction. And if we agree with 99% of what he's doing in that case, as you had stated, I would hope you would just understand and appreciate you may agree to disagree on that 1% of what it is. But overall, I think he's doing a great job. This is something that, like in many things, we agree with a lot of things, what's going on. We may not always agree with everything they're doing, but those are the reasons for it, and that's where the administration stands on the current rate policies. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. I was just talking to Mr. Spirk about the process, if there was will to make any changes regarding the fees for recreation. While we are talking about the Golf Course Enterprise Fund, we're not setting rates in this ordinance that we're considering this evening. And to our best knowledge, those rates are all set through resolution.
Correct.
So we don't have that resolution in front of us. If we were to have a resolution for any recreation fee, that would be independent from this ordinance that we're considering for the Golf Course Enterprise Fund, or whether that is, you know, golf balls, or swimming passes or whatever that is, that's independent. I also can't say how a change in any direction would affect our budget as what the how it would affect revenue as well. So I don't know at this point, you know, if there is consensus to make any change that we can do anything this evening, or it in fact affects the ordinance that's in front of us this evening, Bill number 48 that we're talking about. But I do appreciate, Mr. Callahan, I will compliment you on the way that you laid out that vision and communicated that this evening. I think I can't say that I necessarily disagree with what you're saying, but again, I kind of turn back to the experts who are living and breathing and managing that golf course, like Mr. Kelstrom. He's done such a terrific job. I think everybody's in agreement that the answer is the industry standard, whether you'd like to accept that or not. Yeah.
At the next meeting, is that when we could vote on it?
No, because we
can't vote on it.
No, it would be an independent resolution that stands alone from the ordinance and the budget, that is.
All right.
Because we're affecting the fees that are set by the golf course. So that would take a resolution independent from this, which could be done at any time. But I don't think it necessarily would affect the budget one way or the other, because it is such a small amount. I don't even know if that line item is in the budget specific to what the driving range brings in on range balls, and then what the effect would be for a discounted rate of $5. Obviously, you'd be cutting that revenue for kids in half, but potentially you could be, as your goal would be, to increasing revenue by having more users at that rate. So it could offset, it could be neutral, who knows, it could even gain, but I don't think we have the information to answer that. We'd have to turn to Mr. Kelsner for that.
So would you suggest that I send a letter asking council to lower the golf ball bucket of balls for youth?
Well, we have to specifically find the resolution that's in the city ordinance that sets the current rates for golf balls, and then that would be a simple line item change from 10 to say, you know, 5 for users that are under the age of
18. Yeah. Well, let me just correct a few items. Number one, I think at the last meeting, Mr. Calhoun said that the high schools get free balls. That's not true.
He said during season,
right,
members of the team can,
right,
use the range and the course for free.
Right. So the high schools used to be able to play the course for free, Freedom, Liberty, and Beckett. That's no longer true. There's now a fee being charged to the high schools, correct, Mr. Evans?
Not this season. We're looking to put something in place.
Right.
An industry standard is but also make a contribution through either the booster club or offer tournaments, or make a contribution to cover. Because when the course, there's three teams that come over, and if the district makes a payment in lieu of taking up all the, because when the team comes over, the fact we have three, you might imagine 50, 60 kids come every day to the course, all those tee times are then booked. And what could become a revenue-generating spot becomes zero spots for quite a bit of time. So there's a small contribution we ask. And we asked Mr. Kelsch to go and make sure to check the comparables, and I don't have them in front of me now, but every other single district does, but Bethlehem. And the fortunate but unfortunate thing is that there's not just one, not just two, but three, rather than having, usually a team goes to each of the area different clubs or the courses. We have three schools all come to one club, so it's like triple the effect of kids on the range that push out other putters is paying customers, and we're happy to do it, but just looking for some compensation to help pay for some of the maintenance and other things that need to go on. So again, we're trying to do everything and treat it like a business, like it should, so it can stay afloat, and we're starting to see some fruits of that by making those changes to the course, as well as some other, again, organization besides just that amount. There's also some changes on what the kids do versus kind of the freelancing. They set up structures with the pro involved to make sure they have time in the putting green. There are some that are on the driving range, are not just dropped off without a coach, that they tee off and there's a coach with them on the 18 hole. So a lot of things have really made things much more user-friendly for the structure that provides a better experience for all the golfers, the students, but also the other people who are paying customers on the course as well when all this goes on.
But it is free to the golfers themselves, the high school students.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not
paying. If you're on a team, you get dropped off and you hit. Every day you're on a different spot. When you're in the range, then they rotate around because there's a lot of number of students. So just like you do in any kind of workout, yeah, then you're doing work on the chip and you're on the putting green, what they have. The next day you're actually out on the course playing the course.
So there is no fee to the golfers on the driving range during the season.
Yeah, that's correct. And there are no changes. One of the notes that I didn't mention, there's no changes proposed this year. Again, going back to the fact that it's a business and it's very price sensitive, we did not think it'd be a good idea, even though we're starting to invest in the course. We did discuss projects are still continuing. And when spring comes around, there's still going to be disruption. There's no way. Well, the bunkers are moving along good, by the way. But the car paths are still to come, and there's going to be tearing up and construction. So it would just be bad timing to have some holes closed or have temporary greens, and then it gives people say, wait, if the rates went up and the course isn't ready. So following year, that may be in play. But this year, we thought because of that continued disruption that's going to flow into the spring, hopefully be sorted out. And again, it's one step back to take many steps forward. That's why we chose to hold them steady, because of the price sensitivity. We don't want to lose any customers during this process and keep it a positive experience as it transitions.
So if I'm inaccurate, I apologize for this information I got from not only the players but also coaches. So the kids were allowed, unlimited, were allowed, and it is an enterprise fund. It's not a business. We lose money on our pools.
Yeah, they're not enterprise
right.
funds, right?
Right.
Yeah, this is different. This is an enterprise.
Well, it's also part of the recreation department, you know?
I mean, it reports to me as a business industry.
Right, right. But for years, we lost money. Lots of money. Now we're making $300,000. We also had St. Luke's that gave, what, $125,000 of the driveline?
No, we're not home free yet. 300 is that's overstated, and there's still challenges that remain. Right. And we can go further into that at another time, but it's not going to be that bottom line.
The enterprise fund is now is up over $300,000 in profit.
Correct.
Yeah. What is it at this year?
Right now, it's around around 220 with about a month and a half, so there's some still payroll and expenses. And the goal of an enterprise fund is not to make a profit, but to stand alone and to be able to reinvest, which is something this course did do. It wasn't making margin. If it's making $0 or breaking even or that tight, as those expenses continue to grow, which they will, revenue is capped. We play, it's almost like capacity. They play a lot around. You can only raise rates so much before those golfers go somewhere else. So revenue grows rather slowly. Expenses creep. So we have that margin. We want to put that away, be able to reinvest the course versus break even, then 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it is, would be where we are again, where it's really tight, maybe it's underwater, and it has to find a way to make millions of dollars of upgrades. So I think by no way are we out of the woods. We're definitely on a good direction. I feel real good about it, but it's not that it's time to, again, spike the ball in the end zone. We're not there yet.
Yeah. So what was the St. Louis gave, what, $125,000 to the driving range alone for advertisement?
No, it was $120,000 for a variety. It was $40,000 this year for upgrades, for cleanup. They wanted St. Luke's on some of the uniforms that the employees are wearing. Bethlehem Golf Club in St. Luke's, and they put some of their markers on their receipts and on the scorecard. And in return, their money was put into the range. The lights, the nets are going to be need to replace. There needs to be fencing put up. They replace the stall. So it's to improve that area, as well as some other items. The balls, the range balls that were being, again, there's a cost to it. So when you lose them, they do get lost out there. It's a short. It's not as long as today's players can hit the ball. So they go into those woods, and they're tough to recover out of there. So every time you hit a bucket, there's a loss involved there. So it's to replace balls with the Bethlehem Golf Club, but also the St. Luke's stand for their advertising was a trade-off. They bought the ball, so thousands of balls were purchased this year.
Okay. Yeah. I also just want to make, correct the record. In years past, all the high school kids were allowed unlimited balls on the driving range. Last year was the first time that we limited them to six buckets. The team show up to get six buckets of balls, and on top of that, the large bucket, the price stayed the same. But the amount of balls went down to like a three-quarter bucket. The bucket size changed severely. So, and you can ask Mr. Kelscher, if you're one. I'm not trying to play gotcha. The bucket size dropped down. The price stayed the same. So all I'm trying to say is this: we are trying to encourage kids to stay off the street, which is what the mayor should be doing, you should be doing, and everybody on council to be active. This day and age, these kids spend hours and hours and hours and hours playing video games. We should want them to go outside and play, whether it's basketball, hockey, the ice rink, tennis. We have children's rates for tennis rates, hourly rates and seasonal rates, swimming rates for children. As I said, I went through the whole recreation department fee schedule. Every single facility that we have has a children's rate, except for the driving range. And I don't think allowing children to pay $5 versus $10 on with three quarters of a full bucket, which it used to be last year. And I applaud Mr. Kelschner for his business acumen. He's doing a great job. I was in favor of him getting that job, but I'm for kids first. As a teacher, that's what I feel. And I think we should be doing everything that we can. If we lose $10,000 and we're still making $280,000, when we used to lose $100,000 every year, this is the first year we made money in 10 years, right? I don't think it's asking too much to give the kids a break. And that's all I'm going to ask for. And I'll ask Mr. Waldron what the official step is. What should I do to propose that at the next meeting? If I don't have the support, it's okay. I'm fighting for kids to be active and off the streets and being active. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on bill number 48? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 6-1. Ordinance 9F.
An ordinance to the City of Bethlehem adopting the Liquid Fuels Fund budget for 2020, Bill 49-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9G.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem adopting the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities, Bill 50-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9H.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem adopting the 2020 capital budget for water utilities, Bill 51-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 9-0. Resolution 9I.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem adopting the 2020 capital budget for sewer utilities, Bill 52-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9J.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem adopting the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2020, Bill 53-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Grohn.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9K.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem adopting the Stormwater Fund Budget for 2020, Bill 54-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9L.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem fixing the tax rate for all city purposes for the year 2020, Bill 55-2019, is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to make a couple comments direct towards the administration. I've said these before, but I want to thank you for the budget you put forward. I think it's always challenging for all of your department heads. I know you start the process months ago, and you try to find a way to necessarily cover all of the needs while also doing that in a financially responsible manner. And I know that process, the internal process, as far as what different departments are looking for, what people in the community want, different projects, I know it's not an easy one, but I think that the budget we have in front of us is responsible. And I want to thank you for the hard work. And on a personal level, I do want to thank you for working with me on some of the ideas having to do with climate action, Northside 2027, open data. I think all of those are commitments to the future, and I appreciate that. And once again, I want to thank Mr. Evans and Mr. Donches and the department heads that are here for what I know is not an easy process. Thank you.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem hereby requests an H2O PA grant of $1,750,000 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for replacement of sanitary sewer main in the City of Bethlehem, and that the Mayor, the Director of Water and Sewer Resources, and the City Controller are authorized to execute all documents in agreement between the City and the Commonwealth Financing Authority to facilitate and assist in obtaining the requested grant. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Kramsky Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom.
Aye.
Mr. Walder.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Spots, Stevens, and McCoy for engineering services related to the completion of a risk and resilience assessment and development of an emergency response plan for the Bethlehem water system. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. I will accept the motion and a second to consider resolutions 10C through 10G as a group and ask the clerk to call the roll on that motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Grove, second by Dr. Van Wert.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. If the clerk would please read resolution 10C through 10G.
Certificate of appropriateness are hereby granted for 530 Main Street to install a double-sided blade sign, 77 West Broad Street to install a bracket hanging sign, 2 West Market Street to reinstall existing gate at the entrance and install new fencing, 444 Main Street to install existing lighting at the entryway to highlight attendant signage, 30 East Wall Street to install outdoor lighting, concrete parking pad, and small deck. Resolutions are sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business, setting a date for adoption of the 2020 budget. I'll accept a motion and a second for adoption of the 2020 budget for Tuesday, December 17th, 2019 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Groen, second by Dr. Van Wert. If the clerk would please call a roll on the motion.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. The third budget meeting is scheduled for Thursday, November 21st, 2019 at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. The following budgets will be reviewed. The Community Development Block Grant Fund, Community and Economic Development Department, the budget for council, mayor, treasurer, controller, and law bureau, administration, general fund revenue, general expenses, civic expenses, and debt service. The final budget meeting is scheduled for Monday, December 9th, 2019 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. And on behalf of City Council, I'd like to extend best wishes for a happy Thanksgiving. Any other new business from members of council?
I just wanted to bring up at the end of the last meeting, I know the meeting went very late, and under new business, I spoke to the issue of the block watch that I helped the residents in the 800 and 900 block of Main Street and surrounding areas start, because as many, several of the residents came tonight and speak to those issues. There's been several drug busts in the area, criminal activity. There's a major issue with rental properties. It seems that they're not being inspected. 100% of the drug busts and criminal activity are involved rental properties. And again, I have to give a thank you to the police department and the city. They've been really great in responding to these issues. But again, I think I have to reiterate what this resident said. While we want every single neighborhood in the city to be safe, we are seeing certainly an increase in drug problems and in poverty and homelessness and affordable housing. But I think that this area needs to really be given attention because of the number of criminal and drug activities that have recently occurred in the last 5 years, and especially because we have an elementary school, a daycare, housing for the elderly and disabled, all within this area. Most especially, or equally especially, we have to think of the residents, many of them who could not be here tonight because they are elderly. And also, this area is a gateway to our historic area, both our commercial and residential historic area in the city. And I don't think that really reflects well on the city in addition to the safety of the neighborhood. So I really would ask that the city administration and the police department, and especially the zoning, do everything they can to try to focus on this area and try to rectify the problems that we've been seeing in the last couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cramsey Smith.
Mr. Waldron, could I just add to this just because it's the same topic?
Sure.
I just want to say, I've been to a couple of the same block watch meetings that Ms. Cramsey Smith has been to and has helped to organize. And I think that, you know, as we've all been to these type of meetings, and you have neighbors that really care, and everything
that Grace said is right on point, but you know, as we're talking about a lot of the other things that we've been trying to put together, that's kind of the proactive things as far as Northside 2027, you know, there's not a lot of easy answers when people look at you and they say, there's a house next to me where there's this type of activity. And you know, I understand it's nobody in this room's fault, but it's just, I would just echo that that's the kind of, you know, whatever we can do, whatever resources we can put in that direction, because I would say that the one thing that comes up in these meetings that I've attended is that I do think that there's a real fear. And you know, when you have neighbors that have that type of fear, and that certainly does not fall on our police department. It's not, you know, it's just something that we need to do everything we can. And we have several neighbors there that feel that way. And I think going forward, just something, you know, we've had police officers come out to the meetings, and they've been very responsive. It's great, but it's just one of those things that it is going to take kind of a multiple activity effort on our part, as far as rental inspections and blight and police presence and things like that, because as we said, it is close. We pride ourselves on having walking elementary schools. We want people to live in these neighborhoods and want to walk downtown and things like that, and it is a problem, and I just wanted to echo Grace's comments. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. And Chief, if you need anything from us to help crack down on any of these issues, please come to us. Thank you. Mr. Conley?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to reserve some comments concerning the mayor's comments earlier today. I'll take some time, write down my thoughts, and I will probably be having a press conference in the near future just to address some of the concerns that I have. I think it's fair to say that anybody on this council that hears of impropriety, what they think is what I believe is unethical behavior, that if it's our duty to report it to administration, and that's what I did. And there's another issue too that you're aware of, which was not in the memo, that also President Waldron's aware of. So I think it's okay for us, and it's our duty to make it to your attention when something is not right with one of the departments that the city's under, especially when it affects the taxpayers of the city and people applying for permits. Right. So, if you don't want to investigate that because it's your department, that's up to you. But I have the right to at least ask you to let you know what I've heard. And that's all I did. And if you want to ignore it, that's up to you. But as far as the comments about the last meeting, I sent to Mr. Waldron a copy of the tape. I didn't say one word to anybody until at minute 4:23, the second part. I think if you go back and look at it, I said I don't want to beat a dead horse in this. Councilwoman Negron said, well, it's a little too late for that. And I think at minute 9:01, I made a comment later on at minute 9:01, Mr. Waldron said something to me, which I think you will admit that he did. Yes?
We did have a discussion.
Right, but you made those comments to me first before I, 2 minutes or 3 minutes later, made the same comments.
Here we go. I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I sent you the video.
I didn't look at any of you.
All right, so I'm just saying it's been going both ways. It's not one person. The fact that I like to debate in the open, I think is a good thing. I think the residents want it. I don't want to have conversations back in the back room channels and everybody show up here and it's 7-0 every time. The residents don't want that. They want to hear the discussion and the debate. And I welcome the debate. It's, if you don't agree with my debate, challenge it. Here, it's okay. It's not personal. It's city business. So I will get my thoughts together on the mayor. Mayor, could you forward your email or email me your comments from tonight?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Glenn?
Thank you, President Walter.
I'll make a comment.
Sure, of course.
Nowhere
comments. Well, let me just be very clear. I don't think any of us, and I'll just speak for myself, want to stifle debate.
It's the tone that I have problems with, and many, I think, people at the table have problems with. We want debate. We want discussion. It's the tone of the words.
And just to jump right off of that, this evening, Mr. Callahan, when you brought up the golf course and the price of buckets, I think no one would have any issue with how you spoke, whether they agreed with your idea or not, which I think is a very altruistic and sincere approach of what you're talking about with discounted rates for golf balls. And I think that's something that should be explored, and I think a discussion should be had. But there was a much different approach from what happened at the committee meeting to what was happening this evening. I think that's what the mayor was pointing to as an example of how things don't always go as smoothly as they could when people are respectful and working together.
I also read those comments versus speaking. So I don't know why we're being judged on tone. I mean, I this is the way I speak. You know, I don't have to tell you. If you don't like the debate and you don't like the tone, I apologize. But if you listen to the words, I think you'll understand that I welcome the debate and come up with a better argument. That's all I'm asking for. If you go back and look at the video, you'll see I didn't make any comments until there was a comment by Ms. Negron and a comment by you. And I repeated what you said to me a few minutes later, which I was attacked for. And I think if you look at those minutes, you'll see that I'm very corrected in what I said. But again, I'll reserve my comments for after I read the mayor's memo, and I will release a reply to that and what my concerns are with a member of his administration. And then we'll go from there.
Mr. Clinton, did you want to add something?
Off topic from what we're, but I just briefly wanted to thank the administration for updating us and the Law Bureau for working with the shelter on getting open a little bit early. I know members involved with the shelter, as well as a neighbor who spoke tonight, have stuck here for almost 2 hours for something not being voted on tonight. And I know I brought it up to you last week when someone had reached out to me. Other members of council were made aware of it. And even though it might have caused some hiccup and delay of with the process for this year, I hope it provided some clarity on how to move forward with either opening a little bit early and staying open a little bit later. I've had the good fortune of volunteering there a few nights with members of my family, and other members of council have been there. I would encourage anyone in this room who's never been there to at least stop by to see the professionalism with which that shelter is run, and then the service that it provides to this community, really filling a void that there's nowhere else offering that service. So again, glad that all got resolved. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds had his hand up, and then Dr. Van Wert.
Just a couple of things. One is to piggyback on what Mr. Cologne said. I want to thank the administration as well. I'd reached out to Mr. Evans and Ms. Carner and Ms. Donchez, and I want to thank you for coming to a statement today and helping to kind of come to a solution about an issue that I know is not simple, always, and straightforward. And I want to thank, I know some people have showed up today in support of that. I want to thank them for speaking as well. I think that it's, you know, as I've said, it says a lot about our community. And I think that, you know, this is one of those things that there's not necessarily a blueprint, or it hasn't, you know, been going on for 50 or 60 or 70 years. So the process is a little bit fluid as far as what the best way is to go about handling these things. So, but I want to thank everyone that has spoke in favor, or everyone that has worked and has come out tonight to speak in favor of the solution. I also want to just thank the mayor for his strong statement about how the public's business should be handled. I think thank you for saying something that, as the mayor, carries more weight when you say it than anybody else in here. It's something that needed to be said. About, you know, what these meetings have devolved into at times. As I said, I was
I was not feeling well last Wednesday, I guess, for the budget hearing. And when I watched it, there were certainly things there that were embarrassing to watch. I appreciate you making your comments today, your strong comments about how business should be handled in this room. I would say, and I know that, you know, Ms. Carner is not here tonight, but I think that with her budget hearing on Thursday, I do think that, you know, there's a lot of information here that, you know, Mr. Callahan has brought up that to the rest of us in City Council, as far as memos that I have not seen. I think when last meeting, I believe it was last meeting when he had said that, you know, your administration had acted in an unethical manner and had made comparisons to Allentown. I think at some point, I think that should be, you know, this whatever story this is being discussed should be explained. And I'm not sure whether or not that's with Ms. Carner present or not. As far as what this is even referring to, it's hard for, you know, the rest of us to necessarily come to conclusions or even understand what this is about. But at the same time, I would think it might be a situation where Mr. Callahan is going to bring up information that then the administration would respond to, as far as whatever situation he is referring to that you have, you know, theoretically have done something wrong in the administration. But I look forward to that conversation, and I think it is one that whatever that case may be, it should be, the situation should be explained. There's certain things that when it gets thrown out there should be treated with seriousness, and that is one of them. So I look forward to necessarily hearing more about whatever this theoretical situation was that Mr. Callahan called the administration unethical about. Thank you.
Dr. Gilmer?
I just wanted to say that of all the things that we as City Council are charged with doing, which is writing ordinances and resolutions, passing a budget, and making sure that we address quality of life issues in Bethlehem as they arise, taking care of our homeless, to me, is one of the paramount duties that we have. And I'm sorry that the situation with the emergency shelter got to where it was. I thank you, Mr. James, for coming down and speaking tonight. I thank you, Mr. Rapp and Mr. Condon, your associate, for sitting through this entire City Council meeting. I just want to reach out to you and say, City Council deeply cares about the people you serve and the job that you do. And in the future, if there are problems that are coming, I hope you will let us know as well, because we take very responsibly, very seriously, our responsibility to take care of the unsheltered in Bethlehem 12 months of the year, not just in the cold months. And we also have the power of the pen in terms of the budget, and we set and approve the CDBG block grants. And I know you will be looking for a new home. I know it's necessary because the church is selling, and at some point you may not be able to lodge there. And I hope that we can commit to helping you make it happen so that these people are cared for 24/7 and 12 months a year. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
I'll try to be brief. I just wanted to again thank everyone also. I'm so relieved that the issue was resolved with the emergency shelter, and I want to thank all the people that run it, the volunteers, Mr. James, and especially the mayor, and I know the police, and everyone that worked to keep it going. In my work as a school counselor, when I decided to run for City Council, there's so many issues that I want to address, but I couldn't believe in the last 2 years this significant increase in students and families that are homeless, and it is heartbreaking. I see it every day, and it really has opened my eyes to the issue of homelessness and the crisis that we have with housing that is affordable and universal in the country and in this city. And I know I'm dedicated to working to address it. I know that many of my colleagues are, if not all, and I know and hope that the administration is also. I don't have numbers as far as the adults that are homeless, but just within the district of Bethlehem, last school year we have 477 children. That means 477 families that were homeless. And this school year, and we're only 2.5 months into the school year, we have 267 families that are homeless. That's a lot. That's more than half of what we had last year, and we're only at 2.5 months. So it's a real issue, and I'm glad that everyone here tonight pulled together to address it and get this shelter open as soon as possible. And, you know, again, just as Dr. Van Moore said, I'm committed to doing anything we can to help the homeless and the housing crisis that we have. Thank you again.
Mr. Gallant?
I just want to make very clear before we leave tonight, at no time did I ever accuse the mayor himself of being unethical. I have information, which I know is very reliable, that a department head of his did some things, not one thing, but a couple things, and that's what my reference was, not the mayor or the entire administration. It's one individual, which I asked for him to look into. If I have his permission tonight, I'd be happy to review it.
It's a personnel matter.
It's not.
Yeah. Well, from my point of view, it's a personnel matter.
All right, so I will, if you could forward me the memo that you read tonight, and then I'll come up with a response in writing after I give some thought to it. And because I do think it's of such a serious nature that everybody on council needs to know about it. I mean, I asked you and Mr. Evans and Mr. Waldron and the two solicitors to keep it private until you had found out. And that I told you that I trusted Mr. Leeson and Mr. Evans to do a fair investigation. And if there was nothing there, I was going to drop it. And the letter, the private letter I got here on my desk is very disappointing. So we'll move forward. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming this evening, and have a happy Thanksgiving. This meeting is adjourned.